The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 to 19, and then reading on from verse 25.
Praise and glory to God.
To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by her actions." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The words of St. Paul writing to the Corinthian Christians. Thank you, just reminding, seeing children walking, there is some work in the children's corner there for colouring in or whatever if they wish. But carrying on, yes, they were St. Paul's words to the Christians in Corinth. But of course, they're not the sort of words that even today everybody would go along with, because they don't believe there is a living God at all. For example, the world-acknowledged physicist and cosmologist and writer who died just a couple of years ago, Stephen Hawking, you've heard the name, I'm sure, said this: "We are such insignificant creatures on a minor planet of a very average star in the outer suburbs of one of 100 million galaxies. So it's difficult to believe in a God that would care about us or even notice our existence." Stephen Hawking. But of course, the good news of the Christian faith, found in our Bible, in the experience too of everyday Christians, is that our God does care. He cares about you and me, and he does notice our existence. He knows us, and we can know him. As we read in today's Gospel from Matthew chapter 11, this doesn't come about because we happen to be clever scientists that can outwit Hawking, or because we're well-read theologians, or even have just a simply good education. What did Jesus say? "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." It's as if Jesus is saying that perhaps we are more privileged more than some, if we are in fact uncomplicated and trusting children, like children receiving spiritual truths. Take it as it comes, as we read it, as we receive it. And then Jesus goes on to say, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Which, put simply, we might say the knowledge of God is not attained, but it's received. Not attained, but received. And this sort of fact, of course, upset the elite and the learned of Jesus' day. And later on, too, for Paul, as he went around on his missionary journeys. Such people so often assumed that they could know God through their wisdom, through their learning. But Jesus reminds you and me, I believe this is so important in these days when there are so many different claims to finding fulfillment and satisfying spiritual life. He reminds us that there is only one way to establish a relationship with the God that Hawking and others deny exists. And that is through God's Son. The Son who came amongst us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to show us the Father. Those well-known words of Jesus from John chapter 14. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And I believe we can risk our eternal salvation if we think we can find or come to God in any other way. They might be genuine looking and searching and sincere in their way, but Jesus has laid it on the line, only through me. We know God through Jesus. But then this great truth leads us to another wonderful truth that we find in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus speaks these words. We've heard them already this morning, twice I think. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or as another version, not really a translation, but a way of putting it. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I believe how relevant and how helpful are words like this, and for the world we live in at the moment in our history. I'm sure I don't need to list the items that we read of and we hear so often about the sufferings and the consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic. But how many of us, as well as the millions right across the world, increasingly, sadly, how many are tired and weary and pretty despondent at the news we often read and hear each day? Worried about it, worried for ourselves, worried for another, worried for a whole nation. So in the face of all this, and we know that things won't get much easier very soon, will they? In the face of this, Jesus' words, his invitation, come to me. And of course, there are all the other trials and tribulations of life that you and I face day in, day out. And we can name them if we had just put hands up and said this and that and the other. I'm sure we'd have a multitude of things that we find difficult to cope with in these days. To all of which, though, Jesus again says, come to me. Just think about what an amazing invitation that is. To, if you like, be personally invited into the presence of Jesus, carrying our burdens, our worries on our shoulders, if you like, able to offload them. What a contrast, really, to the comments I quoted earlier from Stephen Hawking. Jesus inviting ordinary but sinful people like you and me, as it were, to stand before him, sit before him, receive his love, his care, his attention, his help, his blessing, all of this, whatever our personal and our particular care or concern may be. This is, isn't it, God's amazing grace in action. And for those who heard such words, the Pharisees, with all their legal requirements, those who'd be thinking that they'd need to reach a certain level or skill or understanding or holiness simply to have to come to Jesus would be an amazing truth for them to learn. But so often they rejected that. That was too simple, we might say, to walk into the arms of Jesus. And as Jesus went on, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, he says. Get yoked up to me. Not to the law, all its demands and things you can't keep up with. They're heavy, they'll weigh you down. Yoke yourself to me. You probably know the basic Greek word in the Bible, paraclete, means to be an advocate, to be a comforter. but it's also the word that relates to the Holy Spirit. And it is, of course, through the Holy Spirit that this work of Jesus' care and support and rest can be administered into our lives, your life and mine. I'm sure you love the footprints image, often the picture, but also the words that go with it. Let me just read those words again. They say so much. The writer says, "One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints, which really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials or testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I carried you." I wonder what your particular need for Jesus' rest, support, care is this morning. Something for him to carry rather than you carrying it. It'll be different for each one of us, I'm sure. It might be physical tiredness, an illness of some sort that's lurking, emotional exhaustion perhaps, a worry or anxiety for yourself or about a family member or a friend, something else going on in your life. All sorts of ways of putting this promise of Jesus into action. For many years I was involved, some of you will know, in the caring and retreat ministry at Te Waiora House in Hororata, a ministry which began and continues to be one that focuses on this theme verse today: "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And many have been able to go out there for a few days and have some retreat time, some quiet time, some support and prayer, whatever is needed just to get away from the hustle and bustle. Still available if anybody was interested in that kind of thing and that kind of care. And here at St Paul's we have what we call a prayer ministry each Sunday morning, certainly at 10 o'clock. See the reminder on the screen each week. I wonder if some of you just wonder, what happens in that room there? We don't sort of see it happening. It's not totally private, but it's, on the other hand, a quiet place. Well, just give any of us who wish to have to share a burden we're carrying of some kind for ourselves or for somebody else, to share it with the person on duty, the prayer duty in there, who will pray briefly about that for you. Quite confidentially, it's not a gossip thing, it's not something we come out and tell everybody else about. Please feel free to use that opportunity if it suits your need at the time. Similarly with our prayer chain, this is a telephone contact you can have, or email contact through Tim, our vicar, or through me, and you can let us know a particular need, again for yourself or for somebody else, and I pass it on, he passes it on to our prayer team, who it's by email and in their own homes can pray for you or for that need. Do take those opportunities. Prayer can be so important in taking up Jesus' offer to come to him. I'd like also to introduce you to an opportunity that came to me and Alison during the alert level 4, I think it was. We were watching a stream service from Whanganui in the North Island. A youngish vicar was taking the service. When it came to the prayer time, he introduced us to a way of praying over an issue. I shared it with my house group the other week, and I think they quite warmed to it. We could simply call it the Praying Hands Prayer. Let me explain. It starts off, no words necessary, just clench our fists. And this is holding the person or the need. We're conscious of the need that's on our minds. That's our burden, if you like. We're holding on to it. Stage 2. We open our hands like that, we sort of drop it, we let it go in the sense that, well, I'm not going to be able to cope with this myself, I need some help, I'll let go some of that burden. And the third stage, we put our hands upwards, palms up, and that's waiting on God to answer and respond to our prayer in his way and in his time. So simple, just a three-part hands prayer. I'd like us just to, if you're comfortable, just to try this while we sit. I'm standing, of course, just to do that for now. No words needed except for my promptings, just for the three stages. Jesus saying, come to me. Firstly, let's think of Neil Dunbar and his family too. You'll see in our bulletin today that Neil and Rebecca over in Cambodia, Neil's dad died about 4 days ago here in Christchurch, part of the St. Stephen's Church parish. And so it'd be pretty tough to lose your parent overseas. We've heard it happen in other situations, haven't we? But Neil and his family are people we pray for here as mission servants with the Church Missionary Society. So can I suggest that we use that three-hand movement just to commit this family to you. I'm going to close my eyes and remember Neil particularly, whose dad has just died. And the grief at probably not being able to get back for his dad's funeral. But we release this burden for God to be with them, to care for them. And so we lift our palms upwards as we allow God, we ask God, we anticipate the Lord answering this prayer in his way to support Neil and his family. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to just suggest we do it once more, and this time for you, for me. Something that we've got on our minds, some burden we might be carrying. It might be a person, it might be ourselves. Let's just, if you'd like to, clench your fists and bring something to mind that you feel is of concern, a weight for you. So as we can't sort this all ourselves, we let it go. Next stage. And we invite God, stage three, to respond as we come to him. In his way, in his time. Thank you, Lord. The old hymn, nearly had it this morning, but we had another one instead. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. This is Jesus' invitation. Come to me, and I will give you rest. As Paul wrote, ours is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. Then many will give thanks, he writes. And so, Lord, this morning, we give thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.